Welcome to the Golden Bro Awards, recognizing 2020's best and brightest. I'm your host, Sarah Newman, and I'm joined by the College Football Bros.
Thank you very much, Sarah. I am the youngest bro, Michael Newman.
I'm the middle bro, Ryan Newman.
And that would make me the oldest bro, Trey Newman.
All right. So this is, of course, the fourth annual Golden Bro Awards. And the way we determine these is all three of us submitted a top three list for each award. So you get 3 points for first place, 2 for second, 1 for third. And for the first time this year, we gave the listeners, the fourth bros, a vote. So their collective ballot on the Google Forms link we posted will count as the fourth vote here. So thanks everyone for voting. And these are, of course, recognizing the top performers of this past 2020 season. And if you'd like to see us decked out in formal attire for the occasion,
looking dapper,
be sure to subscribe on YouTube. We're in suits. Sarah's got a dress on. Trey's got a lovely, what color is that tie?
Oh, it's a little green and blue, and it's
lots of different colors. So there you go.
Very nice.
Check it out. Let's without further ado, get to the first award of the night.
Which team had the nation's best offense?
The best offense. I think this one's maybe the easiest answer of the entire Golden Bros. My first choice, and I think as everybody's choice, is Alabama. I mean, when you have three out of the top five Heisman winners or vote getters on the same offense, it's going to be Bama, and including, of course, the Heisman winner in Devontae Smith. I mean, Mac Jones was one of the most efficient quarterback seasons ever. Najee Harris was incredible. They were number one in yards per play, 7.7. They were tied with actually BYU, but I think Alabama's schedule might have been a little bit harder.
A little bit harder than
BYU. So they were just incredible. They were second in scoring. Do you know who the first was? I know Michael will know this.
Kent State, yeah.
Kent State, the Golden Flashes. Hey, shout out to Kent State, man. They were great. They were great in their four games that they played this year. But again, Alabama, far and away, the best offense this year. Not even close.
Yeah, they averaged even slightly more points per game than last year's LSU's offense, which is crazy. I had, just to bring up an honorable mention here, I had Florida second on my ballot. I thought Kyle Trask, at least in the regular season, I thought he had arguably the best regular season of any quarterback in the country. And they put up big numbers on the best defenses they played. 38 on A&M, 44 on Georgia, 46 on Bama. So they deserve a nod here as well.
Totally agree with you there on Bama, of course, and then Florida. And then if I had to mention anyone else, Ryan, you kind of touched on it, BYU. They led the nation with 7.9 yards per play. And every time I watched BYU, I was just so impressed the way Zach Wilson navigated that offense. But Bama, clearing away.
All right. Who'd the fourth bros go for, Ryan?
And the Golden Bro for the offense.
You're not announcing the award. Don't take Sarah's job. Oh, man. Come on, Ryan.
I'm not good at it. I'll let the
girl. Who was on their ballot, though?
The fourth bros was number one, was Alabama.
Yeah, no surprise there.
No surprise. All right. No surprise.
Let's get to the winner.
And so the Golden Bro for the best offense goes to Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
A lot of suspense there for sure.
Yes.
All right, moving on.
Which team had the nation's best defense?
For me, I mean, I actually kind of liked Northwestern. You know, they were just incredible in the Big Ten this year. I mean, they had their linebackers, Patty Fisher, Blake Gallagher, Mike Hankwitz, the defensive coordinator, retiring this year after 50 plus years of coaching, Pat Fitzgerald. They had an incredible group. They stymied basically everyone they played. They made Ohio State scratch and claw in the Big Ten championship, only held them to 22 points. And they did it with an offense that didn't help them out at all on the other side of the ball. So that was what was more impressive to me.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I had them second on my ballot. I feel like there were three or four teams you could have easily put number one here. I went with Cincinnati. I just love their secondary. Ahmad Gardner and James Wiggins both were All-Americans in that secondary. They were fourth in the nation in yards per play allowed. And the best offense they faced, they did well. So UCF, I know they put up a lot of points, but there were a lot of possessions that game. They allowed 5 yards per pass attempt against UCF, which is insane. 3.3 yards per carry. held SMU to 13 points. Georgia, which was on fire at the end of the year, held them to just 24. So I thought they were deserving.
This was definitely an up in the air category here, unlike the offense, because I went with Georgia as my number one here. They were only two teams scored more than 24 points against them all year. Florida and Bama, maybe the two best offenses in the country. They were ninth in the country in yards per play. But I remind you, like, Florida, they went up against Florida and Bama. So those numbers are incredible when you consider the great offenses that they were playing. But they were number one in rushing yards per attempt and yards given up. And they were 20 yards better than the second place team. They gave up like 72 rushing yards per game. The next place was like 92. So they were just dominant against the run. But they were also top 10 in sacks. So they were just great against the pass and the run. So to me, they had kind of maybe the best talent and maybe the best kind of up front. So I went with UGA.
All right, Trey, who'd the fourth bros vote for?
Fourth bros, top three ended up being, they went with Cincinnati over Northwestern and Alabama.
Okay.
The golden bro for best defense goes to Cincinnati.
Ooh, Cincy.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty crazy for a G5 team to get it because,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it is hard to believe that the way they recruit, they can some of the teams we just mentioned, but I mean, they went out there and did it. They're
make one of our listeners real
and
happy.
And Freeman, he parlayed it into a Notre Dame defensive coordinator job.
Yeah, he had plenty of options.
Right. All right, moving on.
Which team had the best offensive big uglies?
So I went number one on my ballot, Alabama. It was honestly, for me, a pretty easy decision. Landon Dickerson was maybe the best center in the country. Alex Leatherwood, maybe the best tackle. And Mac Jones, just when you watch the games, he had an eternity to throw. Like, I know Steve Sarkisian did a great job drawing up plays to get Devontae Smith open, but it helps when Mac Jones can stand back there forever. And they were fifth in the nation in short yardage success rate. So great, obviously, blocking for Najee Harris as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael. I think Alabama was the clear choice, obvious number one again. But, you know, I'll just go to my number two choice here, that they were also very strong, just not quite Alabama level. I'm going to say Ohio State. They were seventh in the nation in rushing yards per game. It seemed like they got better also towards the year went on. They kind of got a little bit more consistent. They were number three in yards per attempt. I kind of like that stat. They're behind Buffalo and Arizona State, who I think played like three games. So not a huge some sample size. And of course, Ohio State had to play Clemson, Alabama, Northwestern, some really, really good defenses. So it was really impressive the way they were opening up some holes, especially after losing a guy like J.K. Dobbins, who, you know, was a once in a decade type of running back for them. So, yeah, I would say Ohio State.
Those were my top two as well. If I had to give another nod, it would be BYU. They were just visually impressive with their line play throughout the year. It really jumped off when they manhandled Navy at the beginning of the year. They just kind of moved bodies around and they were able to open up holes.
All right. And the fourth bros ballot was Alabama, BYU, followed by Notre Dame, who was second on my list. They deserve a mention as well.
They were third for me. They were very good.
The golden bro for best offensive big ugly goes to Alabama.
All right. It's going to be a big night for Alabama.
Maybe so.
All right. Moving on.
Which team had the best defensive big uglies?
You know, I kind of mentioned them a little bit ago, but I'm going to say Georgia here. And to me, these guys are like the true big uglies because they aren't the ones for Georgia, at least their defense. They aren't the ones putting up these big stats. You can kind of look at their stats and you think, hey, these guys aren't putting up that big numbers, but they eat up blocks like crazy and they allow those linebackers just to have a field day. So they got guys like Jordan Davis, Malik Herring, Devontae Wyatt. I mean, those three were just incredible. Just a load to handle. And then kind of opens up for like a guys like Aziz Olajari, who had 9.5 sacks. So they just were so tough against the run. They even collapsed the pocket, got a lot of sacks this year. I give a lot of credit to that front three that they would have consistently going strong for them. So yeah, I'm going to say Georgia.
I actually went, my first choice was actually Pitt. They were third in the nation, giving up only 93 yards a game rushing. They were Patrick Jones and Rashad Weaver 16 and a half combined sacks on that D line. Weaver actually forced three fumbles as well. They were as good as they come. I mean, and again, this is another instance where very dominant when you don't have that dominant offense on the other side. So they're on the field a fair amount. So I
went without their best player coming into the year, essentially that D line.
Who did they lose before?
Twyman, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. He opted out. Yeah. It's crazy. Pitt, that's happened two straight years for Pitt because last year Weaver, I think, got injured before the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were still great. Yeah. So I had Pitt number one on my ballot as well. They were just, they wreaked so much havoc and stopped the run. So not much more you can ask for. I want to give a shout out to Iowa, who was second on my list. Davion Nixon was a consensus All-American on the interior. Chauncey Golston, first team All-Big Ten. They were loaded. So
yeah,
2.8 yards per rush allowed by Iowa.
Very good.
They were stout.
And how about the fourth bros, Ryan?
Yeah, the fourth bros goes to...
dramatic announcement like Sarah, Ryan.
Yeah, going bro, the best defensive goes to fourth bro. Oh, they had Pitt and Clemson tied for first, and Iowa was third. So, yeah, we're all right on the same track. They had Clemson.
Now we get the dramatic reading from Sarah for the actual win.
Mine was real dramatic. I don't know what you're talking about.
The Golden Bro, the best defensive big ugly goes to Pittsburgh.
All right. It's good to see somebody like Pittsburgh get one in there.
Exactly. All right. Next award.
Who was 2020's surprise team?
Well, for me, it begins and ends with Coastal Carolina, the Shants, the podcast favorite. I mean, they were picked last in the Sun Belt. You've probably heard the story. Not one person could have foresaw the season that they ended up having. I mean, you had a freshman quarterback, a smaller offensive line. You got the big boys of the conference, App State, Louisiana. They were supposed to dominate, and it's just incredible what they ended up doing and being the kings of that conference.
Yeah, it's just for me, they were number one as well. And they beat BYU. Also, like on a late scheduled game. So they really proved they were legit. Also, shout out to San Jose State. They were picked second to last in their division in the Mountain West before the season. Ended up going 7-0, winning every game by double digits in the Mountain West. Just crazy.
That was nuts. Yep. Yeah. And Brenton Brennan was 8-29 in his first 3 years at San Jose State. And then all of a sudden, boom, this year. It was Starkel. What a year for Starkel. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I
had Coastals for sure number one, no doubt about it. And then San Jose State was my second. It was just those two. And then my third, just they didn't have necessarily produce as far as wins, but I put Arkansas as my third team. Just they improved so much. They were a hair from winning like five games this year and going bowling. So the Razorbacks to me, Sam Pittman did an unbelievable job. They surprised me, that's for sure.
Yep. The fourth bros, they also had Coastal Carolina, followed by Indiana and BYU.
Okay, yeah.
The Golden Bro for 2020's surprise team goes to Coastal Carolina.
The Shants. I know we've brought this up a million times on the podcast, but this was the team that in our Patreon we selected as our G5 team of the year, that we just decided to make our second favorite team, some random G5 team. Chose Coastal, and they like had the most amazing year ever. I can't get over that.
I was a little skeptical when we chose it, but I'm so glad we did.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
That was fun for, because our team stunk in Nebraska. So it's fun to have somebody else to cheer for that was actually good.
For sure. Okay. Next award.
Who deserves the Lou Broza Award for the nation's best kicker?
I love this award because you can kind of very easily, like, I don't need to go watch film of all these guys.
Yeah.
I can just kind of look at the stats here. Yeah. Where did you kick it from? Did you make it?
Yeah.
And I'm going with a guy who was perfect on the year, Jake Oldroyd from BYU. He was 13 for 13. So not a lot of kicks, but he was 3 for 3 from beyond 50. So that kind of did it for me. He proved it from a long distance. And I actually have strong feelings about who won the Lou Groza. And, why don't you guys tell me who you guys have for this Lou Broza, and I can comment.
Well, I'm probably going to be going against what you're,
I'm gonna come
what
after
your
you
point is. Yeah, you're coming after me. But Jose Borregales from the U, so Miami, he ended up winning the Groza, like you just mentioned. He hit a 57-yarder. I always think that's impressive. You can hit one from deep. 9 of 11 from over 40 yards, made everything inside of 40, all the extra points as well. And what's ironic is he was an FIU transfer, and he helped beat Miami a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with Trey. I went with Borregales as well. Sorry, Mike. But it was just the fact that the impact of his strong leg that actually was kind of helped them win some games. That huge long field goal, of course, of 57. And then just his kickoffs were impressive, mm-hmm. too. He was a good kickoff guy. So I feel like you can't underrate that, as we know from, sometimes we see these kickoffs and it's just atrocious. You just give up good field position. He wasn't one of them. He was great.
All right. That's fair. Maybe that's a little extra juice he's got there. But I just thought that if you're going to go with Jose Borregales, I thought Cade York from LSU had a better resume, because Cade York missed one more kick. So Borregales 20 for 22, Cade York 18 for 21. But he had that was with 7 attempts from beyond 50 yards. I think that was like 4 or 5 more than Borregales, if I remember right. So he was 6 of 7 on those from beyond 50. So the degree of difficulty there.
It's kind of an impossible award to give it to. So the stats are so close on these. It's so hard to decipher.
It's true. And actually, to your point, the fourth bros were split as well. They had a tie for first place between Cade York and Jose Borregales.
Yeah, we're not even mentoring Will Reichert, who was perfect this year for Alabama.
For Bama, yeah, he had one field goal from beyond 45, so that's why he was.
Yeah, that's why I didn't get it, but he was still perfect. He made all 100 of his kicks.
Finally have a kicker.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's some drama here, so who's the ultimate winner, Sarah?
The Golden Bro for the Lou Rosa Award goes to Jose Borregales of Miami. Mike.
That's okay. That's okay. He had a great year. I can live with it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, moving on.
Who was 2020's breakout player?
This is an obvious one, Ryan. Obvious winner.
Obviously, poor Supuesto, of course. I'm going with Grayson McCall,
okay,
quarterback of Coastal Carolina. The freshman just absolutely led the remarkable year for Coastal. Of course, they had a lot of great pieces, but it felt like Grayson was the swag that they kind of needed to have such a great year. You know, he came through in the clutch. He was just a stud. He had 33 total touchdowns to just 3 picks. He rushed for nearly 600 yards, averaged 10 yards per attempt passing. I mean, he was just a gamer. Whenever they needed it, he performed. So he was just so much fun to watch. And just a guy like that, just getting it done every time he needs to. He was a baller.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic when I said it was obvious, because there's like 30 guys you could easily pick for this award. This was tough. I had McCall third on my list. I could have had him first, but I did have safety Brandon Joseph from Northwestern at the top of my ballot.
Yeah.
Didn't play as a freshman last year, and this year led the nation with 6 interceptions in only 8 games and was a consensus All-American.
That's pretty dang good. Yeah. I of course liked Grayson McCall. I had him on my ballot, but I actually, at the top, I had Breece Hall, Iowa State. A lot of people going into this year are obviously familiar with more Brock Purdy, but Hall really busted out this year. I mean, he led the nation in rushing. He had a period of 7 straight games where he rushed for over 130 yards, capped it off 136 in the Fiesta Bowl. And then I did want to give a hat tip to Jalen Phillips on the D-line for Miami.
Yeah.
He seemed to be kind of a bust of a big-time recruit at UCLA, transferred to UCLA and Manny, or transferred to Miami from UCLA, and Manny Diaz had him playing really well on that D-line.
One more shout-out I want to give, too, is to Jordan Strawn from Georgia State, a linebacker. He was a former walk-on, and he was a junior this year. In his career, he had 1.5 tackles for loss, 0 sacks, but this season he was 3rd in the nation with 9.5 sacks. Just wow. Came out of nowhere.
I mean, there's so many guys. I want to mention too. Sorry. Malik Willis, Liberty quarterback, transfer from Auburn, just couldn't get it going there. And all of a sudden he's just like one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, leads a team that only loses one game. And then Carson Strong for Nevada. I mean, he had like 27 touchdowns and 4 picks. I mean, he was incredible. So
yeah, if you looked at our, if you voted in this, and you looked at our ballot, we put like 25 names on there.
Yeah,
and we had a little other if you want to put someone else. So
yeah.
Ryan, I shudder to ask you this, but
no, I'm ready.
Fourth
bros. There was a three-way tie between Grayson McCall, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones.
All great choices. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Golden Bro for breakout player goes to Grayson McCall.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
No, I'm not rooting.
No, yeah, but they're cleaning up here.
Yep.
Okay, on to the next award.
Who deserves the Chuck Brodnarik Award for the nation's top defensive player?
This one was really tough for me. I ended up going with Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. I mean, almost to me, this was almost a career award. His sophomore year last year was just as good. But this year, he was such a force. 7.5 tackles for loss. He had 4 interceptions, including a game-winning pick 6 against Tulane in overtime earlier in the year. Forced a couple fumbles all over the field. I'll let you guys get to a couple more and see if you get my other guy.
Yeah, I had Zaven Collins at the top of my list as well. He also had an interception to clinch that SMU game, so he kind of filled up the stat sheet as linebacker. My 2 and 3 were Patrick Surtain, cornerback for Alabama, just a shutdown corner. I remember Brian Kelly, I guess, before the national title or before the semifinals, said, "We're just not going to throw at him." So that's kind of the ultimate respect for a corner. And then 3, Davion Nixon, I brought up earlier, I think, for Iowa, defensive tackle. He put up more tackles for loss per game than Ndamukong Suh did his senior year. So that's pretty nuts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wonder if he could have kept that going for another 6 games.
I don't know.
That's impressive.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And my 1 was also Zaven Collins. You know, he was just all over the place. My 2 was, I have a couple of different ones here for 2 and 3. I had Talanoa Hufanga, Michael's boy, safety at USC. Yeah. He was awesome. He averaged over 10 tackles a game, 3 sacks, 4 picks. USC may not have had a great defense, but Hufanga maybe kept it from being bad because he was all over the place. What a playmaker. And my 3rd guy, I'm going to give San Jose State a little bit more love here. Cade Hall, definitely under the radar, but he was one of the main reasons San Jose State had a resurgence, especially on that D. In just 7 games, he had 10 sacks. That was just 0.5 sack behind the national leaders. And those guys had played, there was 2 guys he was behind, and they had played 3 more games and 5 more games than he did. So, you know, give him a handful more games and, you know,
Cade Hall could have been breakout player as well. That's true.
Right? Very true. Yep. He was a stud.
Yeah. I would have had Hufanga if USC played 1 or 2 more games. That 62 tackles in 6 games is crazy. But the 4th bros, their top 2 was Zaven Collins along with us and Teron Jackson.
Coastal. Ooh, more love for Coastal.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Who's the winner?
The Golden Bro for the Chuck Brodnarik Award goes to Zaven Collins.
Yep.
All righty. Some G5 love once again. Let's talk about some quarterbacks here.
Who deserves the Davey Bro Bryan Award for the nation's top quarterback?
So we have the advantage here compared to the awards that shall not be named, the Home Depot awards. I guess I will name them, but we are, of course, much more reputable than them. We had the bowl games. We had the playoff semifinals to decide who the best performances were. So I'm going Mac Jones. If he hadn't already clinched it in the regular season, I think that the playoff he had was incredible. Highest pass efficiency rating in college football history, highest ever QBR, highest completion percentage ever, 5th all-time in yards per attempt, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks, just ridiculous season. I know he's got all that great talent around him, but there's been a lot of guys with really good talent, and very few have come close to what he did.
That's a fair pick, Mike. But I'm going to go against it.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kyle Trask. I went with him when we did ask this question, like, who should win the Heisman? I had Trask ahead of Jones, and I'm not holding the bowl game of his against him at all, just because he was practically playing with an entirely new team.
Yep.
He wasn't throwing to anybody that he had thrown to in the regular season, so that just wasn't fair. But he had 46 total touchdowns in just 12 games and 5 picks going into the bowl game. So it's, you know, he threw for more yards per game than Mac Jones, had 4 more touchdowns and won less game than Jones. So, and he didn't have the benefit of a good running game at all. Like, it was just all up to him. There was no ground game to speak of for Florida. So it was Trask just making plays left and right.
Yep. I feel like if Trask was on Alabama, I don't have really a doubt he couldn't have done at least what, or sniffed what Jones did. He practically did on his own anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was hard. You had to go Mac Jones, of course, breaking all those records. And yeah, he's surrounded by those insane weapons like you touched on, Michael, and, you know, the bro's best big uglies, but you still had to throw it and complete 77% of passes. Like, that's not easy to do against air. So
no,
he bowed down to Mac Jones there.
All right. And the fourth bros had Mac Jones number one as well. A guy we didn't mention who, of course, deserves to be mentioned, Zach Wilson from BYU was second on their list.
Yep.
The golden bro for the Davey Bro Brian Award goes to Mac Jones of Alabama.
All righty. We've finished with the quarterbacks. So what is next, Sarah?
Who deserves the golden bro for the nation's top running back?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, Trey already mentioned it. I'm going with Breece Hall. He had 1,572 rushing yards, which led the nation by more than 100 total yards. So easily there. Second in the nation with 21 rushing touchdowns. And he added a couple through the air. And this was kind of behind Iowa State's offensive line, which going into the year was kind of looked at as like, okay, maybe this is kind of the question point of Iowa State here. We knew they'd have a good D. We knew they had a good quarterback, and Breece Hall was good. But the line was probably performed better than we anticipated, but it was still not to be confused with Alabama. And he was just their workhorse, making plays left and right. So Breece Hall to me was number one.
That's totally fair. I would have to go with Breece at the top of my list, but I also liked Jarrett Patterson, Buffalo. Only six games, still had over 1,000 yards, third in the country with 19 touchdowns, and he had a back-to-back games where he had 301 yards and 409. Like, what a two-game stretch he had, and so he was a monster.
Yeah, we all had Breece Hall at the top of our list just because he had roughly, you know, pretty similar yards per carry average to the elephant in the room, Najee Harris, who is as large as an elephant, arguably. But Harris, though, we'll bring him up. 26 rushing touchdowns, really good as a receiver as well. Like, he's a freak as well. So he'd be worthy at the top of the list too.
Elephant in Alabama, nice, Michael.
I thought about that too. Yeah, it really works.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, the fourth bros, they had same similar thoughts here, but they didn't pick Breece Hall. They had Najee Harris and Jarrett Patterson. So that was a snub. What's up, fourth bros?
Hey, those are two great.
Jarrett and Breece Hall,
180 rushing yards a game. Come on,
Breece Hall, man, deserves it.
All right,
we're too big of a
fan. I think we know, Sarah.
The golden bro for the nation's top running back goes to Breece Hall of Iowa State.
All right. Sorry, fourth bros. There are three Breece Hall votes overtook you there. Okay, moving on.
Who deserves the Bro Litnikoff Award for the nation's top receiver?
Well, I think this might be the next easiest award of the night, I think.
Or is it?
Well, drama.
Okay. But,
you know, it's safe to say if you win the Heisman, you're, as a receiver, you're probably the best receiver. And you know, Devontae Smith, so dominant, fun to watch. He just glides out there. He can catch it on the run, slow down for a back shoulder catch, use him in jet sweeps, you name it. He absolutely crushed every receiver in almost every statistical category there was. So you got to go Devontae Smith.
Except
Elijah
Moore was first in the nation in receiving yards per game, and he was first in the nation in receptions per game.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, he was 600 total receiving yards behind Devontae Smith, but Smith played like, what, six or seven more games than he did? So, or maybe five. I don't know. It was a lot more games. Anyways, yards per game was the main thing there. So I think he's just, I agree that it's Devontae Smith. That's my number one pick. He was just incredible. But I don't think Elijah Moore is getting enough credit for how spectacular he was this season. Yeah. He was, I mean, any other year, he would be the number one receiver, no doubt. He was incredible. So Devontae just had all the limelight, that's for sure.
Yep, that was my 1-2. Jalen Darden from North Texas, I had third. Yep. He was third in the nation in receiving yards and had 19 touchdowns. So big year from him. Kyle Pitts, obviously. I know he's a tight end, so it's hard to fit him into this receiver group. But
yeah, he played like a receiver.
Yeah, he was a freak. Yeah.
He even missed a couple games. And Darden, man, he was a gobbler. So the fourth bros, they had Devontae, of course, but they actually did go with Pitts as their second place guy.
Fair the enough. Golden Bro for the Bro Litnikoff Award goes to Devontae Smith.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Okay, let's move on to the coaching side of things.
Who deserves the Frank Broyles Award for the nation's top assistant coach?
This is another tough one. A lot of guys to choose from. I went number one, Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator for Cincinnati that we brought up, of course, moving on to Notre Dame. But Cincinnati having one of the best defenses in the country is just insane with their level of recruiting compared to the big guys. So that's why I thought he deserved to be up there. I also want to bring up my number two, maybe not the SEC offensive coordinator you'd expect, but Jeff Lebby at Ole Miss coming in. And in this offseason of all offseasons, it should be very difficult to install a brand new offense, especially with a quarterback who didn't have a ton of experience, wasn't the starter last year in Matt Corral. And yet he and Lane Kiffin came in there and they had one of the best offenses in the country. Like, it was insane. So that got him just ahead of Sark for me, even though I know Sark is had a freakishly good season too.
That's right. And I went Sark, and going into the year, I didn't really have a strong opinion either way on him. But, and I know he was handed the keys to a Ferrari, but he was really creative in how he got guys the ball. I mean, if you just watched the national title alone, you saw it on display, how he opened it up for Najee on, he used him in wheel routes, opened it up for Devontae in multiple different ways. You know, especially when the defense, that's their key, put Mac Jones in good spots. So that's the reason I went with Sark.
Yeah, I agree with Trey. Sark as well. You know, leading the best offense maybe ever should certainly give you some major points here. And yeah, I love the creativity. I mean, you know, teams were going to try to double team Devontae Smith. They didn't want him to catch it. They didn't want him to give up 250 yards in the first half or whatever, but they were just so good at getting it to him in so many different ways. They just couldn't help it. But I'll go with my number two here just to give a little shout out to another G5, Kurt Maddox, the defensive coordinator from San Diego State. They were second in the nation in total yards per game given up. So only behind Army, who, you know, loves to shorten the game. So they were awesome on that side of the ball. Just want to give a little more G5 love.
Sure. And the fourth bros had Steve Sarkisian at the top of their ballot, followed by Marcus Freeman.
The Golden Bro for the Frank Broyles Award goes to Steve Sarkisian of Alabama.
Very good choice. The fourth bros get their way, and same with Ryan and Trey. I can't argue against that. So
yeah, it's tough.
Yep.
Moving on.
Who deserves the Home D Bro Award for the Head Coach of the Year?
This is always a tough one. Do you value somebody that's at the top, or do you value somebody that's at the bottom that kind of works their way up? It's a very hard one to kind of justify here, but for my number one, I went Jamie Chadwell, Coastal Carolina. This was kind of America's darling team this year, and certainly the podcast darling. But you know, they're a new FBS program, just their fourth year. They played, you know, in arguably the game of the year against BYU. I think that was just maybe the most entertaining. Maybe we had a little more riding on it than most folks, but the game was spectacular. And he did it with, you know, to have an undefeated regular season with a freshman quarterback, with a team that wasn't expected to do very well. It was just magical. And I feel like you got to give it to him. Just, it was almost seemed like a team of destiny, but he just did a remarkable job with them this year.
Yeah. I actually didn't struggle with this one too much either. You sound like did struggle a little bit, but yeah, I had Jamie Chadwell, Coastal number one, Brent Brennan, San Jose State number two. We brought up their crazy season. Yep. Number three, Luke Fickell. I mean, I know they were expected to be good, but not quite as good as they were. I mean, for them to go undefeated, nearly beat Georgia, who people thought was a top five type team by the end of the season.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I went with Chadwell as well, and you could just tell the players really rallied and loved him. He got the most out of them. Tom Allen amazed me as well. He was on my ballot, outperformed my expectations. And then Indiana. Michael, Oh, yeah. And then, Michael, you touched on San Jose State and Brent Brennan. I mean, winning every game by at least double digits is just crazy in the Mountain West. Like, if you told me Boise did that, that's one thing. But
yeah,
San Jose State, whoa.
Yeah, true.
I'm just going to quickly read through a few names here. I have to. It's just there's so many guys you could list here.
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, yeah, Alabama. Matt Campbell, Iowa State. Mike New at Ball State, winning the MAC. Yes. Kalani Sitake, BYU. Hugh Freeze at Liberty. Like, the list goes on and on. There's Jay Norvell, Nevada. He could have won. So many guys.
No doubt.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Fourth Bros. Fourth Bros, they were going with, they had Nick Saban and Jamie Chadwell at the top. So they showed a little more love for the champs.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
The Golden Bro for the Home D-Bro Award goes to Jamie Chadwell of Coastal Carolina.
little Sean's homerism showing up here. But I really think just objectively, like, you look at what their, you know, their season win total expectation was compared to what they did.
Well, and he won the Coach of the Year as it is, so.
Well, that's that stupid Home Depot award that no one cares about. Yeah, he won that. Okay.
I know.
Thank you, Sarah.
The media.
Sarah, give us the next award here.
What was 2020's Game of the Year?
I feel really bad what I'm about to say right now. BYU Coastal. I mean, Mormons versus Mullets. Like, just the way it came about, too, with the last-minute scheduling, two undefeated teams, and it lived up to the hype with Coastal winning 22-17, stopping BYU at the one-yard line to end it. Like, I really thought that was the Game of the Year. I mean, there's a few that you could have gone with as well. I want to give love to a couple more G5 games. What's that?
After we go, of course.
Fine, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to take our thunder here.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with, I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to. I'm going to go with a different one. Clemson at Notre Dame, the one where Notre Dame won in overtime, double overtime win for Notre Dame, maybe the biggest win in Brian Kelly's tenure there. That was, of course, awesome. We know Trevor Lawrence was out, but Uyunglele came in and played fantastic, and their defense was missing a couple guys, but it was just a remarkable game. Number one going down, double overtime. Ian Book led a great drive at the end of the fourth quarter to force overtime, of course. It was just magical. And then, of course, after the game, the scene was just awesome in South Bend. So that kind of justified, you know, that just the sense that got him into the playoff, of course, but then it just kind of justified. I had always felt Brian Kelly was getting a little bit of a hard kind of giving a little bit of too much of a hard time for not necessarily getting all the way to the top, even though he's winning like 10, 11 games almost every year. So that was a good justifying win for Brian Kelly in my eyes.
That was my top game as well. That when Ian Book fumbled late in the third quarter in the end zone, you kind of thought, oh man, well, there it is. Clemson got it. But then he led that 91-yard drive at the end to be clutch and force overtime. But yeah, that was quite the game. And then I also got to mention then Indiana Penn State, Michael Penix reaching out is just the play that a lot of us will all remember for this whole season. Like, but before that, like Penn State, they scored when they didn't want to. You had the amazing drive to force overtime and 2-point conversions. They shouldn't have won the game. They were completely outgained. That was a crazy game.
Ryan, can I speak? Can I talk about?
Yeah. Hey, now that it's, you know, where we went, of course, go for it, Michael.
Okay. So I'll bring up UTSA at Texas State, which was like early in the year, and Texas State took a 41-28 lead late in the game. There was like 3.5 minutes left. For some reason, they didn't go for two to make it two touchdowns, which was very dumb. But it ended up working out for them because UTSA. Wait, I think I got that wrong. Texas State. It was UTSA that took the lead, right? I think I might have this wrong. And then Texas State, I think, came back. So Texas State scored a quick touchdown. Then they had like a 90-yard punt return touchdown to tie the game. Extra point to win for Texas State. They miss it. So they go to overtime. And the same kicker for Texas State misses like a 20-yard field goal.
It was a chip shot.
UTSA ended up winning. I think I have that right now with the teams. But anyway, it was just a crazy game.
It was remarkable.
And the Fourth Bros agreed with us. They had, agreed with me, at least, with taking BYU Coastal as the game of the year. But who won, Sarah?
The Golden Bro for the game of the year goes to BYU at Coastal Carolina.
All right, I promise. Hey, you could have put Liberty, the bowl game, in Coastal Carolina.
Oh, let's bring up more Coastal games. Yeah, I mean, why not? More Coastal Troy. That was a great, like,
that's true too. Comeback.
Boom.
It was amazing.
This is the Sean's podcast. All right, let's get to the award of the night.
Who should take home the highly coveted Heisbro Award for the nation's most outstanding player?
I mean, I'm going Devontae, of course. What else can you say? I mean, he set records left and right, absolutely dominant by a wide margin in a lot of the receiving categories. And, you know, when Waddle went down, he was the primary target, and they still could not slow him down. If anything, he thrived even more. And then his first half in the national championship alone was just remarkable. It would have been fascinating to see what he could have done in the second half. I know they would have called the dogs off a little bit, but I wanted to see what he could have completed. But overall, was so dominant, very fun to watch. I got to go Devontae.
Yeah, I had Devontae Smith. His, you know, again, we have the advantage here for the Heisbro Award of being after the playoff games, and those kind of clinched it for him for me, because 345 yards and 6 touchdowns in the playoff, and like we said, not even playing the second half of the national title. So I had him followed by Mac Jones. Efficiency was too hard to ignore, and Kyle Trask. I didn't dock him too much for that bowl game.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Devonta Smith, playoff sealed the deal, no doubt about it. But I just, as my second and third, I just flipped with you, Mike. I had Trask second, and then I put Mac Jones third. So, but those were the top three, no doubt in my eyes.
And
okay, go ahead.
Fourth rows, of course, had to go with Devontae Smith as well.
All righty.
And the Heisbro goes to.
A lot of suspense.
Devontae.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. He was amazing. Wow. That was awesome.
He's got to be so pumped right now. Devontae Smith watching right now.
I'm sure he'll send in his accepted speech any moment now.
For sure. Okay. Well, we have, before we get to our rapid fire awards, we have a little bit of a special award here. Sarah, why don't you introduce that one?
Who deserves the award for the honorary fourth bro?
All right. We are so sorry to the fourth bro. The one Sarah was perfect all night. She was
screwed up the fourth bro.
And the fourth bro gets nothing. No. This is going to a listener who really helped us out this year. He managed our College Football Bros Pick'em League for free. I mean, that makes us sound really cheap and stuff. We offered. We said, hey.
Yeah, like, offered, hey.
And he was like, no, I got you guys. So we appreciated that. And he hosted a Patreon trivia night for us, which was a lot of fun. So Sarah, do the honors for our fourth bro.
The Heisbro goes.
Oh, no. You know what? Maybe he doesn't deserve this award. Sarah's saying he's telling us.
The Heisbro is kind of cool, though.
Actually, maybe the Heisbro should be this award.
Yeah.
All right. Take two. We got this.
The Golden Bro for the honorary fourth bro goes to Joel.
Yay, Joel.
Yeah, Joel. He also won our Pick'em League.
He also, he won it.
He ran it and won it.
Yeah.
It's definitely fishy.
No. It's legit. It's legit. And I know that because I think I came in second, or I was up there. So,
yeah.
Seems legit to me.
Yeah.
checks in the mail, Joel. All right. Let's get to some rapid fire awards. Thank you, Sarah. You did a great job for introducing and announcing all those awards.
Absolutely.
Yes. So first off, we're going to lead off with the Diaper Dandy Award for the best true freshman. The nominees are Bijan Robinson of Texas. Great year, became dominant late in the year. Malachi Moore, the Alabama corner, locked down opposite of Patrick Surtain. Emmanuel Forbes, 5 interceptions for Mississippi State. Kari Coleman, 15 tackles for loss, 7th in the nation for TCU. And then I do got to give some love to Deuce Vaughn. He was for Kansas State. He was awesome in their upset against Oklahoma. Little Darren Sproles out there. But the winner is
drama, suspense, Diaper Dandy.
Will Anderson of Alabama. Going into the playoff, Anderson led the SEC and all freshman with 7 sacks, 10.5 for loss, 52 quarterback pressures, ranked him second nationally. Pretty impressive for a young pup to do on a national championship team.
Yeah, that was one thing Alabama needed was pass rushers going into the season, and they were having to rely on freshmen, so he stepped up.
Yep.
Let's get to the next award. Best stat line of the year. We have a lot of runner-ups here, so Trey, why don't you give us the best quarterback stat lines?
Sure. We got Graham Mertz, Wisconsin, in his first game against Illinois, 20 of 21, 248, 5 scores. You got Matt Corral against South Carolina, 28 of 32, 513 yards, 5 touchdowns. Malik Willis of Liberty versus Southern Miss, kind of a coming out party, 24 of 31, 345, 6 touchdowns. Not to mention he had 97 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And then finally, Justin Fields' performance against Clemson, and then Mac Jones in the national title. Those two were crazy in the playoff.
All right. The running back nominees were Jarrett Patterson's 2 games, 409 yards and 8 touchdowns against Kent State, and then 301 yards and 4 touchdowns against Bowling Green. And then the third running back nominee, Cameron Peoples of App State, had 22 carries, 317 yards and 5 touchdowns against North Texas.
Impressive. Impressive. All right, let's move on to the receivers. So the receiver's first stat line here was from Corey Rucker from Arkansas State. He had 9 catches, 310 yards, and 4 touchdowns versus Louisiana Monroe. Kayshawn Boutte.
Boutte.
I like to say Boutte. You know.
he's from the state, the Boutte, Louisiana.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
There you go.
Yeah, LSU guy. He had 14 catches, 308 yards, 3 touchdowns versus Ole Miss. And let's not forget Devonta Smith in the national title game in one half. 12 catches, 215 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Just remarkable.
Yep. Moving on to some of our defensive players. We got Grant Morgan, a linebacker from Arkansas. 19 tackles, 3 for loss, a sack, and a pick 6 against Ole Miss. Not too bad. Carlton Maritall, linebacker for Troy, 21 tackles, 2.5 for loss, a sack and a pick versus Coastal. Not too shabby. Charles Snowden, a linebacker for Virginia, 4 sacks, forced a fumble against North Carolina. 4 sacks, that's a lot. Joseph Asai, linebacker for Texas, 6 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, forced fumble, fumble recovery against Okie State. And then finally, Nick Anderson, a safety for Wake, 11 tackles and 3 picks against Virginia Tech. And he actually, best part, earned a scholarship after the game.
All right. But the Golden Bro for the best stat line goes to Jarrett Patterson, Buffalo. 36 carries, 409 yards, 8 touchdowns, like we said, against Kent State. Just insane. Ryan, you think he was on your fantasy team last year?
Oh, my gosh.
He certainly was. Yeah, as was Devonta Smith. So it's pretty good.
Well, and they took Patterson out like with a few minutes left in that game, yeah, too.
That's right. Yeah, he was going to break records, even more records. Yeah.
Come on, Lance Leopold.
All right.
That's why he didn't get our coach of the year, Lance Leopold. Yeah, he mentioned.
No.
You got to just.
He deserved it.
Now, moving on to the play of the year. So I'm going to start us off here. We've got Tulsa. We kind of alluded to this earlier. Tulsa had a Hail Mary versus Tulane. So Tulsa was down to their third string quarterback in the game. Zach Smith and Seth Boomer both got knocked out. Tulane is up 21-14. Tulsa ends up driving down to the Tulane 37. Last play of the game, Davis Brin, third stringer, threw it up for grabs. Somehow Juan Carlos Santana ends up behind the defense, comes down with it as time expires, gets the tie, and then in overtime, pick 6 that ended up being one of the worst spread beats of the year for Tulane.
And that was Zaven Collins on that pick 6.
It was. So,
the Brodnarik winner, I believe. And then, okay, last play of BYU at Coastal. We got to bring it up again. But Zach Wilson had, you know, one last drive there with under a minute left. Got it down to, I think, the 17, 18 or 17, and threw a pass to Dax Milne 1 yard short. Stopped at the 1 yard line, kind of like everyone talked about the Tennessee Titans Super Bowl many years ago. Just short.
Kevin Dyson.
That was great. All right, I'm going to go with Cade York's 57-yard field goal to beat Florida. This one was, of course, the game was tied here at 34. And this was the famous throwing the shoe penalty against Marco Wilson of Florida that kind of gave LSU a little bit more field goal range extension there. Got him into field goal range at least. But this game was just crazy because of the fog, the weather. It kind of got him, like, you couldn't even really see what was going on. So the usual TV camera, they couldn't even use because you just couldn't see the field. So yeah, they had to use like the over the head one the whole time. So it was definitely weird. But Cade York stepped up, nailed that 57 yarder to help give LSU a 3-point victory at Florida. It was a huge upset.
But the Golden Bro play of the year goes to Michael Penix and his play versus Penn State. You know, I mentioned
close as it gets.
Yeah, it was. Indiana, they were beyond fortunate to be in the position. But Penn State didn't want to score. They did. Gave Indiana a chance to come down and tie it into regulation. But the play, of course, is Michael Penix. They're going for two and the win in overtime. He scrambles, reaches his arm towards the pylon. The ball goes flying. The call on the field was touchdown. And after video review, there was just, it looked like he was short, but there was no way of really truly overturning it. And thanks to Penix's long arms, they got the upset win at the time.
Yeah. If you asked me to make a bet right now, like if God could come down and tell us whether it was short or not, I think I'd bet $0. Cause I don't know.
There's no way to know. It was too
live. I thought he was short, but I mean, when you slow it down, it was just too hard to tell.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. What's next, Ryan?
All right. So next we have the funniest / craziest play of the year. And the nominees are first one here. We got Liberty's play versus Coastal. This one was just crazy where Liberty was. Okay. So the game was tied at 34. Liberty had the ball first and goal from Coastal's 3-yard line. So they were trying to do the smart thing. Liberty was. They were trying to run the clock down and then kick a game winning field goal as time expired. So first down, they give it to the running back, Joshua Mack. And he kind of like backs up a couple yards just to make sure he doesn't go in, goes down. So now it's second down, but the clock is running. Second down is where it got crazy. So they do the same thing. They hand it off to Joshua Mack, except this time he kind of inches toward the line of scrimmage for some reason. And Coastal Carolina is like, they're trying to let him score. Like they want him to score. So they kind of grab him and try to kind of like pull him towards the end zone. Then the offensive line from Liberty is trying to pull him back. Like, so he doesn't score. It's kind of like backwards football, you know? But then he ended up fumbling. Like Coastal ended up stripping it, recovering it. And the game ended up going to overtime where luckily for Joshua Mack, Liberty ended up winning. But it was just such a weird, bizarre sequence. Liberty was trying to do the right thing. It statistically is the right thing to do, but execution.
And Coastal was trying to get him to do it.
Exactly. They were like,
please do it.
Yeah, come on in. But no, it was just, it was nuts. That was quite an ending to that game.
That was crazy. I had one, Rutgers and Indiana. They had a lateral. Rutgers, 4th and 32, late in the game. They're down 16. They're desperate. This play ends up taking 34 seconds. There were 8 laterals. You had offensive linemen throwing it over their heads blindly. They ended up going backwards about 20 yards before going forward. And they ended up, just after all the pitches, they end up scoring what looks like a touchdown. But apparently one of the laterals was slightly forward, so it ended up not counting. But incredible play.
And that was a touchdown for the cover. Would have been a touchdown for the cover.
I know.
Would have been a bad beat. But I'll one-up you on this play because Western Michigan against Ball State, this play took a minute. And and it was a big game. Like the winner goes to the MAC title. Ball State's up 3. Last play of the game, Western Michigan, 16 laterals. Ball State stormed the field during the play. Somehow they didn't ever tackle anybody. And Western Michigan scored a touchdown for the win to go to the MAC title, but it also got called back on a forward lateral. So almost the craziest play. I think that would have been the craziest
going
play
on
in history.
Yes.
It's hard not to lateral forward when you're running pretty far, pretty fast. Because just you got to throw it like, you can't just throw it sideways because it's going to go forward. You got to throw it like almost directly behind you because the speed of the ball is also that you got to keep that into consideration. So
the physics hard. Bros. Wow.
Wow. You know, I mean, it's like the Stanford Cal game, like that last pitch. All right. But the golden bro for funniest / crazy play of the year goes to Marco Wilson throwing the shoe. Helped LSU move along down the field there. Blew the game.
crazy. And at the time, eliminated Florida from playoff contention pretty much.
Yeah, it did. That was
all right. Moving on to, we only got a few awards left here, but the G5'sman. It's the Heisman of the G5. The runner-ups were Malik Willis at Liberty, Carson Strong, Nevada, Dylan Gabriel, UCF, Jarrett Patterson, Buffalo, Sincere McCormick, running back for UTSA, Jalen Darden, North Texas receiver. But the winner of the G5'sman, it's a homer pick, Grayson McCall, quarterback for Coastal Carolina. I mean, he led Coastal to an undefeated regular season, fifth in the nation in pass efficiency, and he was a great runner, so deserving.
Yeah, he was. I'm going to move on to the upset of the year. Some of the nominees are Kansas State plus 27.5 against Oklahoma. They won 38-35 early in the year. Wild. Rice was getting 24.5 from Marshall. They won 20-0.
That was weird.
Very mystifying. Maryland was getting 27.5 against Penn State. They ended up winning 35-19. Tua's brother was looking good. Michigan State, they were getting 21.5 against Michigan. They ended up beating Harbaugh, and they kind of own that little rivalry lately. And then Tulsa was getting 20.5 against UCF, and they won 34-26. And at the time, that was quite the upset. Yeah. But the upset of the year award goes to LSU plus 24 against Florida. They won 37-34. No one saw it coming. Kyle Pitts out. Gator's too good with that offense. No way LSU's going to keep up. But fog.
Yeah.
Shoe throws. Spider cams. Cade York. Crazy upset.
All righty. The final award is my favorite. It is the Art Sitkowski Award for the worst quarterback stat line of the year. By the way, Art Sitkowski had the second most pass attempts this year without an interception. So I really think this award kind of motivated him.
It really did. Was not a nominee this year.
Redemption for sure.
He was not going to throw Sitkowski.
What's that, Ryan?
He would have rather thrown it into the ground than give his guy a chance, but maybe get an interception. He was that determined not to throw.
I don't know about that.
I'll show those bros.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the nominees. Grant Wells in that game against, it was against Rice. No touchdowns, 5 picks. Not great. Matt Corral for Ole Miss. He very easily could have had 2 nominations for the best games list and the worst games, but his worst one here was against Arkansas. 2 touchdowns, but 6 picks and a lost fumble. Katravis Marsh of USF against Cincinnati. 6 for 13, 39 touchdowns, 0 touchdowns.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
Oh, did I say 39 touchdowns?
Yeah.
39 yards. Yeah. Sorry.
In 6 attempts. How does that happen?
Chase Cunningham, Middle Tennessee against Troy. 2 for 7, 10 yards, 2 picks. Arkansas, also a little shout out to a wide receiver, Treylon Burks, their star receiver, threw it 4 times this year. He was 0 for 4 with 2 picks. So maybe don't try that anymore.
Maybe stop the trick plays there.
But the Art Sitkowski Award for the worst quarterback stat line goes to Aaron Allen of Louisiana Tech for his performance against Georgia Southern. 10 for 24, so 24 attempts, 41 yards,
Whoa.
No touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
24 Jeez. Attempts for 41. Wow.
That is a whopping 1.7 yards per attempt. So that would have made freshman year Art Sitkowski very proud.
Wow. No doubt about it. Wow, that's brutal.
So there you have it. That'll do it for this year's Golden Bro Awards. Thanks again to Sarah for hosting. Round of applause for Sarah. And for making all of these images. She makes all the images for the podcast, all the backgrounds. So thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks for the fourth throws
for voting. Appreciate that. If you haven't already, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast. Helps our downloads. If you're listening, subscribe on YouTube. We're trying to get up to 1,000 subscribers. We're at like 470, I think. So ways to go, but we're climbing. And we will see you next time.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.